So we are with Kerry Lawrence, Denis Souline from Cold Lake. Denis Souline, is a good pronunciation?
Denis Souline.
Okay. So could you explain what's going on with the camp? You set up a camp in Cold Lake to stop, as I understand, RV parking?
Yeah, May 6th, we erected a camp to stop development of a RV park. There are artifacts there dating 4,000 to 5,000 years old, sacred burial sites, medicine picking spots, berry picking spots, and a very good place to catch fish. Long time ago, this was a gathering spot for the Dene Suslene people. There is 500,000 square kilometers of Dene Nunene, and that's the territory. In this territory are all the major cities, tar sands, all these projects going up. I came down to Vancouver because we didn't have much support in Alberta, and unfortunately from the people, I came down to Vancouver to promote the peace camp and to fundraise. So 2 days after speaking at the Rhizome Cafe, I was attacked by a man. When I was waiting for police assistance, the police came, they automatically stereotyped me, arrested me, and apprehended my daughter. So my daughter's been in foster home for the past a week and a half.
Wendy, you said they stereotyped you. How they did that?
Well, when they got there, they wouldn't listen to me. And I was getting more frustrated because I was attacked prior to the police coming. And whoever made a phone call said that I was allegedly hitting my daughter. Now, my concerns are if I was allegedly hitting my daughter, that maybe a social worker should have came in with the police. To this date, the police are not getting a hold of me. I've left messages. So, you know, like, this has to be investigated, and they're not thoroughly investigating this whole situation. My daughter should not be away from me.
And as you thought, and many people also, it's connect with the camp and your political activity, as you think.
Yeah, like, I was in Cold Lake, Alberta, and I was also wrongfully arrested. They said I was causing a disturbance. I was in a hotel, and they came to my room, and they said that I was making numerous 911 calls and banging on the window to get out, which didn't happen at all. I was on the phone with a supporter from Edmonton, and I was in Cold Lake. The cops immediately came. They arrested me. They didn't tell me why I was arrested. They didn't let me call my kids or a lawyer, or I did not get charged, and they wouldn't tell me why I was arrested. So, you know, like, in regards to that, you know, like, I'm pretty scared of the Alberta government and the police and at what lengths they're willing to go to. I came to Surrey, and it's pretty apparent that this is kind of a setup, and I don't want to, like, think too paranoid about it, but from all the evidence that I've gathered, it's probably something that they would do, not to mention that I've met a couple of other women that this happened to. Not the same, but it's, you know, it's all related.
Yeah, it's also in a context where, like, many reports appear about, like, the Canadian government and the other governments trying to apprehend native Chiles a lot in Canada.
Yeah, like, we're in a genocidal war right now, and we're in a war against ourselves, against our own people, and the government have picked up where residential schools left off. And this is part of divide and conquering our people, dividing me and my daughter. And their attempt was to slow me down, I'm pretty sure, but it's pretty much gave me more ammo to fight this. And it's not like physically fighting. This has to change. What the governments are doing to intimidate not just activists, but the indigenous people of these territories.
And what's going on with the camp itself?
We went to court Tuesday, about 3 weeks ago. The judge's ruling was that we could, from what I got, you know, we can practice our treaty rights from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. only if chief and council say so. There was 8 people on the documents, including Cold Lake First Nations, on the injunction. They were trying for us for contempt. Now 3 out of the 8 people are allowed to stay on the land for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The other 4 people have to ask chief and council if we can be on the list, and all of Cold Lake First Nations have to go through chief and council to go onto this land. It was also said that we had to take down structures like the bathroom, the kitchen, the sweat lodge, and it was pretty apparent that the judge making this ruling did not know anything about Indigenous rights or more or less how to camp.
And how was reacting the official chief, like the official in the point of view of the Canadian government, I mean?
It looks like the chief doesn't really know what he's doing. And that's just my opinion. But these lawyers are hired by the government to tell chief and council that you're doing a really good job for your people. Keep it up. So from what I see, it looks like the chief thinks he knows what he's doing and he thinks he's doing a really good thing. But these are hired lawyers and psychologists that, you know, tell them that they're doing a good thing. And you know, it's really not. The chief and councils, they're reelected in every 3 years. And then in that time, they're saying that they're consulting properly with these chief and councils, but these chief and councils do not, you know, consult with the people. So they're making deals behind closed doors, and it's been going on for a long time. Yes, they went in court that they did consult, and that's a fair thing to say, but they didn't consult properly or fairly because they did not consult with the people. They consulted with the chief and councils behind closed doors. It's really actually very apparent, and it's also basic math. The evidence is all on the table, and I'm not sure why the members of the Cold Lake First Nations don't see what's going on and what's going wrong. I'm an outsider looking in the inn, and I can see all the what's going on wrong. But it would take a lot more than just my judgment. It would take, like, hard facts and information to put together to show these people in, like, a presentation.
And what will happen with the territory? Like, do you think you will win the fact that they will stop the RV park?
Well, we go back to court June 2012, and like from what it looks like on the internet, that the province has already made plans as to what they're going to do with this land and how they're going to do it. So, and this is just what I get think, like they don't want this land just for an RV park. It's either they want it for the fresh water or for to put oil wells in it, because there's oil wells in Edson Park, Alberta. You know, I don't see why they wouldn't want to do it out in Cold Lake, Alberta.
And yeah, for the situation of the camp and the fight, like more generally, and also for your child, what we can do as you, on your point of view, as a native or non-native?
I think that unity is key to open our eyes, ears, hearts, and our minds to what's really going on here. Unity and getting all on the same page that we have to stand all together to fight this, whether it's gathering information, you know, any kind of fundraising opportunities, maybe possibilities for workshops, and just to basically work together and finding out, you know, why this is happening and how things can be changed.
And if the people want to be informed more, do you think about some sources of reference that they can use to read, like, good information and not only, like, the information coming from the governments and stuff like that?
Usually I just ask people to Google Denis Outlenay Peace Camp or Barry Point, Cold Lake, Alberta, Kerry Lawrence. And I'm just very new to the apprehension, so I'm just basically gathering information for myself too, and just networking and supporting other people's struggles, so that, you know, there's a good solid network.
And if the people want to contact you to support you, how they can do that?
My email, I could be reached at realtheal2011@gmail.com. That's R-E-A-L-T-H-E-O 2011@gmail.com. My cell phone is 604-202-3151.
And also, before we finish this interview, do you want to add something?
I am overwhelmed with all the response and support that I have gotten from the West Coast here in Vancouver, and it's just amazing to see the support rolling in, because this is really serious. I'm also looking for lawyers that are willing to help in any way, because I'm not sure if the legal aid lawyers really know the severity of this case, because, you know, they're not asking the right questions. And, you know, like, I'm just wondering, how far are these people willing to go? And it's not just my struggle. There's many women out there that are going through the same thing, women and families. This has a lot to do with the prison system, foster care, and it's left off where residential schools left off, and it has to be brought out so that everybody can see with their eyes.
Yeah, the continuity of colonialism in Canada.
Yeah.
That we have to fight in general. Okay, thanks to be there, and I hope many support will show up for you.
Thank you.
I encourage you to continue your
Thank
work
you.
And your fight.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.